You are listening to a presentation of Streams Church in Goodyear, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, go to streamschurch.org. And now, Pastor Lloyd Baker.
We're talking today about hearing the voice of God. This year, we really feel like the theme of our church and what we're talking about is personal revival and an awakening across not only the church, but our land and the world itself. We really believe that God has it for us. We get together, we pray as a staff, we pray as leaders. What is God going to speak to us this year? We believe that's going to happen. This week, I'm joining some of the staff. We're going to Azusa in L.A. The L.A. Coliseum is going to be packed full of people that for a whole day, 7 in the morning till 10:30 at night, are going to be praying that God will move on our land. We'll be joining them with that. It's the 110th anniversary of the Azusa Revival, so we're really excited about what God may be doing. But the thing comes down to this. I'm going to tell you about the second most important decision you're going to make in your life. The first is following Jesus, making a decision to follow Jesus. The second most important decision is, does God speak to me personally? Do I believe that? Do I expect that? That's the second most important decision you'll ever make. And you say, well, Pastor, what about marriage? Isn't that an important decision? Well, let me tell you this. If you can hear God's voice, he'll tell you who to marry. And you won't marry the wrong person. See, if you hear God's voice, he'll tell you how to raise your children. The Bible is full of people hearing God's voice. Where to live, what profession, how to handle your finances. And if the Bible is full of God telling people and speaking to people personally, the question has to be asked is, in 2016, did God get laryngitis? Did he get silent all of a sudden? So why can't we hear God on a regular basis? There's several reasons. Some of us are maybe not tuned in. Some of us are not listening. Or maybe some of us are so burdened down by shame and guilt from our past, we don't think God would speak to us. I want to tell you that today, none of that is right. And the longer you walk with the Lord, the more you'll be able to discern his voice from other voices in your life. God wants to speak to you personally. I remember when my children got older. When they were young, they didn't do this. Sixth grade, junior high school. But you know, that they're older, I get the phone call. Dad, what do you think about? They're asking for wisdom. It's a cool part of life. And you know what? Your Heavenly Father is the same way. He loves it when his children say, Papa, I don't get this. Would you speak to me about life? Speak to me about the situation. Today we're going to talk about that. It's so important because hearing from God proves you're a child of God. John 8:47 says, he who belongs to God hears my voice, and he who doesn't belong to God does not hear my voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. It protects you from mistakes. Job 33 talks about that. If you hear the voice of God and you're walking down the wrong road, you'll hear that check. There'll be something going, whoa, 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 whoa. That's the wrong direction. Not only that, it's a key to a productive life. And I'm here to tell you, anything that I've ever become, anything that has become important in my life is because I've heard the voice of God and he's led me down a pathway and I've listened to his spirit. I want to let you know, I've never heard the audible voice of God, just so you don't get freaked out by that, okay? If you would. But I have heard God speak to me in several ways. Today, I want to look at a scripture that really gives insight on how to hear from God and how God speaks. It's in Acts chapter 11. If you have a Bible, open it up to Acts 11. If you have a smartphone, I encourage you to have something like that to be able to take notes. I love looking back at my old Bibles and seeing the notes where I journeyed and what the Lord was speaking to me then. Starting with verse 1. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised, and the difference between people who followed Judaism and those who didn't was circumcision. In fact, if you wanted to become a convert, that's the first thing you had to do. So during those days, to distinguish in the Word of God and in the church, they would call themselves the circumcised, and the Gentiles were the uncircumcised. And so the circumcised believers, the Jewish believers, criticized Peter and said, you went in the house of an uncircumcised man and ate with them. And it's interesting because it's the same thing that the Pharisees said to Jesus. And now here's the beginning of the church. They find something out. They hear these rumors. Peter, you've been going into the house of Gentiles and giving them the good news of Jesus Christ. The problem with that was, is during that day, there was a belief that Jesus came only for the Jewish nation. They were waiting for the Messiah. He came. He was the Messiah. And he died for the Jewish nation. And that is it. And if you wanted to follow Christ, you had to become a Jew first. Then you could become a follower of Jesus. So this was a big no-no to take the gospel into some place that it shouldn't go. And so they're trying to explain it in this. So Peter gives his explanation. I love this. So starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. Peter was against this too. It took this to get him to go to a Gentile house. I was in the city of Joppa praying. And in a trance, I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Does anybody know what that has in common? They're not kosher. In the Jewish law, they were not allowed to eat things that weren't kosher. God gave a certain list. So he says, I looked and saw all these non-kosher things. And I heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And I replied, surely, Lord. Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has entered my mouth. Peter is even with this. He said, Lord, I have never, ever defiled myself against your word. Now, it's interesting. He's praying, and he goes into a trance when he sees this vision. Trance can have several interpretations here. One of it can be that he went into a dream, sort of half asleep, and he's in this dreamlike state. God has spoken to me. That's one of the ways that God speaks to me several times in through dreams. I always ask my wife, have I shared this illustration? It's an interesting when you get old enough, you can't remember what you shared and what you haven't shared. And she can't remember either, so that's good. And some of you don't listen, so that's all right too. So some of you are new, so if you've heard this, I'm going to share it again. It's a great illustration. If you want, we were pregnant with our first child, and I was an only child. I was a boy. I wanted a boy. I really wanted a boy. And one night I had a dream, very vivid dream. And in it, I saw this blonde-haired girl, light-colored eyes, and her name was Sarah. And I woke up that morning, and it was just very alive to me. And I turned to my wife, and I said, we're going to have a girl, and I think we should name her Sarah. And Sarah was Judy's grandmother's name, and so she agreed. And, of course, that's what we had, and it was fulfillment. Brittany asked me, she said, my youngest daughter, she goes, did you have a dream about me? She hears the story. I go, no, baby, don't tell your sister, but you're a dream come true. I do say that, but yeah. Write that down, fathers. This church is a result of a dream. Pastor Mark Buckley, who will be speaking next week, we're really excited about that. He's really, really the father of the birthing of this church. I was on staff with him 16 through 11 years ago, about 5 years, at Living Streams Churches in Central Phoenix. He really felt like God was calling our church to start a church. And he felt like I was the one that was supposed to do it. And I don't know if he was trying to get rid of me or if he really had this dream of starting a church. Either way, he asked us to pray about it. And we were praying about it. And one night, I had this dream. And it clear as can be, Psalm 105. Read Psalm 105. And I was reading it. And I woke up immediately. And it was vivid. And I went and read Psalm 105. And it was the calling of the children of Israel out of Egypt into a new promised land. And I read it over and over and over again. It became the scripture that I lived on for years. We planted this church. It was a confirmation from God. And when God gives me a dream like that, it's usually very vivid and it usually wakes me up. There are other dreams that I've had that's just a result of eating something that gave me indigestion. But in that, usually there are dreams that God gives me. And it's very clear to me. A trance also means that he could be praying, and we see this. And in this state, he sort of sees a word picture. Something alive comes. And we see this. He sees this sheet coming down, and he gets this word picture. I know plenty of people that have that gift. As they're praying, they'll say, I sort of saw this, and maybe it means something to you. When we decided to plant our church, I spoke at Living Streams, and people knew they were praying for us. They took up an offering for us. And a lady who has this gift came to me, and she said, I want you to know something. I've been praying about you starting this church. And God gave me this visual image of this great vineyard on the west side. What she didn't know is every year my family and I would come out to Northern and 101. Anybody remember when there were vineyards out here and you could pick your own grapes? We would come out, pick our own grapes all the way from the other side of town, and I would dehydrate them and make raisins. Oh, they were wonderful. Red flame grapes, and there were some of the other color, green ones. And we would come out. She didn't know that was a part of what we were doing. It just so happens we're not even very far from that place. And she said, I saw this vineyard, and for 7 years, there was fruit, but it was really small fruit. It was good fruit, but it was small fruit. And she goes, in the seventh year, all of a sudden, the vines begin to just bear this incredible fruit. I'm like, okay, I'll stash that one away. And you know, when God speaks stuff like that, it really gives you hope. That's what it is for, to keep you going. Because starting a church, planting a church, it wasn't easy. 45 people in an auditorium that sat 800, that wasn't fun. It was like a canyon and echoing. So it gives you hope. Here's an interesting thing. 6 years, we were in a high school, then a movie theater, and in the seventh year, this property opened up, beginning of the seventh year. And since we've gotten this property, we've more than doubled in size. People have been coming to faith, and all of a sudden, the fruit, not that far from Northern 1 and 303, has been coming alive. That was a word that she got, that now I look back and say, thank God, the move that I made, yes, Lord, you were in that from the very beginning. It gave me faith. So she had that picture, just like he had this picture. Well, why would God use such unique ways of speaking to Peter? Well, first of all, Peter would have rejected any type of call from a Gentile because he was a Jew to come speak to them. He wouldn't have listened to it. And it would help then others understand also that this word picture would help the leaders understand, and it confirmed God's will in Peter's life. So now we're looking at the next part of the story. He goes, the voice spoke from heaven a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times. That's how much he was against it. God had to say it three times to him. Right then, isn't this interesting? Three men. He spoke it three times. Three men who had been sent from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. Now, the second way that God can speak is right there. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation. And he had this impulse in his heart. When he saw these guys show up, he had the dream. And at that point, there was something within him that says, these are the guys. Go with them without any hesitation. And he needed that because, again, it would not be normal for an Israelite to go. And the second thing is, Christians were being killed at that time. They were being, and for a group of guys to say, hey, come, he could have thought, hey, this could be a trap. So the Spirit of God gave him this impulse that he knew it's okay to go with them. But I also want to notice, he went with them, but he also took six brothers with him. And I think they were probably wearing leather jackets riding Harleys. You know, he just wanted to make sure, just in case, I got some bros with me, right, that have my back, of course. Here's what happened at the house. That man told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house. So the same time Peter's getting this dream, before that, an angel speaking to these guys. Send to Joppa for Simon, who's called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he'd come on us at the very beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to point out two things about this scripture. An angel appeared. Now, we don't know if that was an actual angel. That word can be translated angel or messenger in the Bible. So it could have been an angel, or it could have been a messenger that just showed up to the house and said, hey, go to this city, ask for this guy, he's going to come. The other two words that are very, very interesting in this passage is a message and the Lord had said, what the Lord had said. And both of those are the word that I received, the word that I heard. There are two Greek words that are used in the New Testament for the phrase, the word, what I was, you know, what the Lord had said, a word that I received. The first one is logos. Logos just means the written word, like you would write down, like you'd read in the Bible, or just it's spoken. There's a second word, rhema, which is used. Rhema is an interesting word. It means a word that all of a sudden has sprung, this is a simple version, a word that has sprung into life. It's come alive to me. It's become personal to me. I don't know if you've ever heard a message in a sermon, and all of a sudden, this light bulb goes off. You know what I mean? You're like, wow, okay, I know what that means. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor Lloyd, you were speaking directly to me today. I go, well, I didn't intend to, but no, that word you spoke. And sometimes it gets translated between my mouth and their ears that they hear something that I wasn't really speaking, but all of a sudden by the time it got to them, and the Lord used those words and it jumped in them and said, you know, that was for me today. Did you know what was going on? I met people, have you been talking to my wife? No, I haven't talked to your wife at all, man. Because that was for me. That's Rhema. Have you ever read the Bible and you've had something going on in your life and just reading your devotions and you hit a scripture and all of a sudden it just, wow. Thank God. That's the answer. God spoke to me something. That's what Rhema is called. This is Rhema. He's saying to this house of people, he's going to bring you this word that will come to life to you. It'll be different than anything you ever heard. And then when Simon Peter hears it, he remembered and he sees what's going on. He remembered. He had this Rhema experience. I remembered when Jesus was on earth, he was talking to us. John baptized with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He was talking to us. But that same thing that happened there has now happened here. And all of a sudden what Jesus said, whoosh, comes to life. The next scripture. So if God gave them the same gift he gave to us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I? Through all these words, through all these things that have come to life. Who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? And when they, the leaders of the church at that time, heard this, they had no further objections because they saw how God lined up everything. And praise God, saying, so then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Because of that situation, anybody who's sitting here that is not of the Jewish background, receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. That one time, that opened up the door. Isn't that amazing? Because one man heard from God, because a house heard from God, and because leaders, when they got it presented to them, said, yes, that's the Lord, and put their hand of favor on it. That's a powerful thing. Let me tell you something. If you want to live life victorious, you need to learn how to hear the voice of God. I'm going to give you a couple of days how to distinguish God's voice from our voice, or other voices. So these are tests that an impression in your heart or something you hear is the voice from God. First thing is it consistent with the Bible? This thing that you're feeling, this thing that you're hearing has to line up already with the statutes and the precepts filtering through the Word of God. An illustration, when I was 15, my stepdad left my mother and I, and he'd just come to faith 6 months earlier. And this is what he said to us. He said, I have prayed, and I know divorce is wrong, but God has spoke to me and said it's okay because I don't love you anymore. That was his word. God has spoke to me and says it's okay because I don't love you anymore. Well, do you know what the Bible, God says about divorce in the Bible? It's one of the few things that God says, I hate. He says God hates divorce. Let me be very clear. Everybody listen, please. God does not hate divorced people at all. He loves everyone, and he loves you. God hates what divorce does to people. God hates what divorce does to children. God hates what it does to the purity of what marriage is supposed to be, the image of him and the relation with us. So God doesn't hate divorced people. He just hates what it does. And I guarantee you this. I've been through it as a child. Every person who's been through that will say the same thing. I hate it. I don't ever want it on anybody. I would never want to go through it again. It's not a good thing. So everybody got that clear? But he used what he wanted to do and went directly against the Word of God. There are some exclusions in the Bible that are very extreme for that. But I don't love you anymore is not one of them. Because God can rekindle the love, can't he? He can do all things. Secondly, will it make me more like Christ? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Christian means like Christ. That's a person who's like Christ. I love this because believers did not come up with the concept. You ask people all the time, are you Christian or not a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. They don't even know what that means. They didn't go, hey, look at me, I'm Christ-like. No, it wasn't thought by those guys. In fact, in Acts chapter 11, very interesting, after Peter goes through this, Paul and Barnabas end up in the city of Antioch. They're living amongst Gentiles and Greeks. For a whole year, they're there speaking the gospel, and the people outside of the church see them, and they say, they're Christians. Those guys are like Christ. I've heard stories about Jesus, and that's what it looks like, living on this earth. I hear that word thrown around so much. We're even a voting block now. I know I say that. It bothers me so much. Because I don't even like to call myself a Christian, because it's been so tainted. I'm a follower of Jesus. Can you imagine what would have happened to this world if people outside the church looked at us and said, you know what, I can't deny it, those people act just like Jesus Christ? That would change the world, wouldn't it? If every person that said that, you know what, I can't deny it, they're like Jesus. So does this word make you more like Jesus Christ? Next one, does my church family confirm it? God has placed you here as a part of our family. There are leaders, there are elders, there are directors, and it's really good to have them interplay. Mature believers work through these things with you. If you're not sure, ask somebody. Ephesians 3:10 says, God's intent was through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known, that he has decided through a body of believers. I love about this story is that when the leaders of the church began to get on Peter's case, Peter, with respect, told them the story so they can make the decision. Here's how this happened. And then they made a decision based on what they heard. It was a medium confirmation. This story is an interesting thing. Before Alan and Shannon became youth pastors, we had a vacancy. This was about 6 or 7 years ago. We have a demarcation in our church before Alan and Shannon and after Alan and Shannon. Our first interview, we thought we had the right guy. So we flew him and his wife out to our church. And I made the mistake back then because I thought I wanted to get to know the person. I had the mistake of having them stay at my house over the weekend. That's great if they're the right person. That's bad if they're the wrong person. And after that time, my wife Judy said, and no more. So Alan and Shannon stayed in a hotel while we were interviewing. And we had this couple in, and I knew after a while, this isn't it. It's just not right. And so I took them to the airport, and I said, I just don't want to belabor the point. I don't want to go through this, but I just want to let you know, I just don't think this is the right fit. You're wonderful people, but it's not the right fit. So the next day, he gives me a call, and he says this on the phone. He goes, I have prayed about this. God has spoke to me. I'm supposed to work for you. And if you don't know that, I'm not even sure you can hear the voice of God. And And I paused. And I've missed the voice of God before. So I said, you know what? There are times I've missed God's voice. I'll pray about it. I will pray about it today. And so I told the young man that, and I got off the phone and I told my wife something else. And But to my credit, I did pray about it that day. I really did. And the next day he called and said, never mind, never mind. God's released me from it. I said, do you mind if I speak a little bit into your life? Do you give me permission? And he goes, yeah. I go, I have to be honest with you. I think there's something right now going on that's a little unhealthy. And God loves you so much, he's more concerned about who you are than what you do. And I would just, maybe you should take a step back and look at that. 3 months later, they took a job at another church. He wrote me an email 3 years after that. He said, I want to let you know something. 3 months after that, we took a job at another church. Within months, my wife left me, and we were separated for a whole year. I had to step out of the ministry. We got counseling. We finally got restored back in ministry. And I want to thank you because you saw something that I didn't see at the time, and you had the boldness enough to gracefully say what I needed to hear, and then when I got in that situation, that's exactly what I did, because you had spoke that. I love the fact that when God speaks to you, I think there are mature people around you that you trust, that believe in you, that you can respectfully submit that to. I very seldom ever pull out the God told me card to somebody, because I just want to have that honor, respect. So when our elders get together, I don't know if I've ever done it. I don't walk in as pastor. God told me. I say, you know what? I have this impression. I like this. I think this is what the Lord made. Can we pray about this together? Can we talk about this together? And sometimes it's been a no from the group, and I accept it as a no, and we walk on. I believe that God has brought leadership together to speak through and use each other. So I really believe in that, because when you sort of play that card, it's like what he said to me. You just, either you can't hear it because I can hear it. And I just think it's respectful. Peter was respectful when he thought that. And so it's good to have spiritual leadership over you that you trust, that can speak into your life. And I have many of those. Fourth, is it consistent with how God has shaped me? I've never had a fear of speaking before people. I've never had stage fright a day in my life. I was in plays all through high school and stuff like that. So it was only natural when God said, I want you to be a pastor and speak my word. And like, okay, great. I'll do that. I was in another church at one time, and I had led worship in a church of about 50 people. And I went to this other church, about 500 people. And I went to try out for the worship team. And I played my guitar and I sang. And he said, you know what? Your singing's fine, but on the guitar playing, you're not a good guy. You might be good for 50. You're not good for 500, okay? I wasn't good enough. And so for me to try to think that I was going to be some professional guitar player in a stage in front of 500 people, that didn't fly. It wasn't how I was wired. It wasn't how I was gifted. All you have to do is watch American Idol in the beginning. You know what I'm talking about, right? Well, what are you saying? I'm a great singer, you know? God shaped you a certain way, and he's not schizophrenic, okay? He didn't make you one way and then say, I'm going to use you totally different than anything. He made you in a purpose, in a way. He has a plan for your life. And so does it fit in consistent with God's shape? And last, do I sense God's peace about it? When you pray through, when you talk to people, when you finally get to that place, even if you live in fear, even if you're afraid, there will be a peace that will be okay. It's going to be okay to go forward with this. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule your heart. It doesn't matter what else is going on. In the next few months, we're going to journey through the book of Joshua, talking about taking the victory in your life, moving to a next. There's a difference between being in Egypt, coming out of Egypt, but God has a divine destiny for everyone here. We believe it. And if you're going to get there, you've got to be able to discern what the voice of God is speaking to you. You've got to hear it. To journey through the promised land, to get there, you must be able to hear his voice. So that if you have one of those vivid dreams that you can't shake off, you can simply say, God, what are you saying to me right now? If you have a word picture in your mind when you're praying about saying, you can say, God, what are you trying to say to me right now? If you hear a message or a sermon and it just jumps at you, God, what are you speaking to me right now? You read a passage of scripture that just jumps off the pages. God, what are you trying to tell me? I want to hear your voice. That's my prayer. If a messenger, somebody comes to you, says something to you, God, what are you trying to say to me right now? That's what I want all of us to be in this place. Then when we hear that thing, it lines up with God's word. It makes me more like Christ. It's confirmed by leaders. Makes sense, right? Gives you peace. I'll tell you, it's probably a word from God. And as you go on in life and you try these things out, you'll become more accustomed to knowing what is God's voice and what's not God's voice. I've been doing this for a long time. And I can tell usually pretty quickly and get it confirmed. Don't you want to hear God's voice for your life? Don't you want to go in the ways he's asking you to go and not miss it? That's what I want for you. So I want to pray for you. Would you stand with me, please, today? And if you're able and you feel comfortable, I like to do this sometimes. It's just like, God, I'm ready to receive. It just if you're comfortable, let's pray, and maybe you can spread your hands out. So, Lord, we're receptive of hearing your voice. Please speak to us. Because if we just try to live this life on good ideas, we're in trouble. Because you know us. You made us. You know our future. You have a divine destiny for all of us. You want us to walk in victory. And in order to do that, we got to know. Speak to us, Father. We pray. Give us words of understanding. Use our friends around us to speak into our lives. Confirm it with the peace of our heart so that we might walk confidently into any situation, knowing that you've called us and you go before us. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Streams Church in Goodyear, Arizona. Email any questions to streamschurch@msn.com. The mission of Streams Church is very simple: to lead people into their life calling, a relationship with Jesus Christ that is challenging, growing, and purposeful. For more information about service times, location, or events, go to streamschurch.org.